You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You know, I thought Amanda was just going to jump all over my sermon this morning when she started praying for the sick. And I tell you what, Mike, I might need that chair before it's over with. Mike asked me this morning if I was going to be able to stand up here and preach, or if I need a chair. I feel the anointing. Yeah. There's a power. Somebody's going through something this morning. I have no idea what it is. But I know that when we get through here today, not because I'm preaching, folks, it's because God has got a word for you. Whew. Wow. You know what? Of all the time I've been serving God, and all the things that Jerry and I went through in our life, and all the good times, all the bad times, I feel stronger right now than I've ever been in my life. I feel that there's such a need in the body of Christ today. God is wanting to do some great things. As Jerry Savelle says, there's suddenlies are coming. God is waiting for us. He's waiting on us to do what he has called us to do. And every one of us has been called. Not everybody is called to preach. Not everybody is called to sing. Not everybody is called to go into the highways and the byways and the bars and you know, hospitals and clean them out. You know, not everybody is called to do that. But you know what? We are called to live a life of strength, a live a life of obedience, live a life of righteousness and holiness. And God said, if you will put me first, all the things that you've been praying for, all the things that you have been desiring is going to come to pass. But you've got to put him first. You've got to make him number one in your life. This is all free. This is not even what I'm preaching about, but I may. Who knows? You know, I told God last night as I was praying this morning too, I was praying about my sermon. I said, Lord, you just do whatever you want to do. All I am is a vessel. And if you want to have a Jericho march, you go right ahead. If you want to let people shout from the chandeliers, which we don't have, that's okay. But we do have a light bar here. Anybody feels healthy about it? But I'm telling you, God is so tired of mundane Christians. God is so tired of us not being able to fight, not being prepared to do the work that he's called us to do. And what we're going to talk about today, and I guess I better get my glasses out because I got small print on this Bible, and I don't dare try to follow it on my iPad because sure enough, I'll lose. Those look good. I got my contacts on too. You know, I really need to see. It's a small print on here. But anyway, what I want to talk to you about this morning is, what do we do when we face adversities. What do we do when trouble comes? What do we do when situations in our life become unbearable? What do we do when all of a sudden you're out of money, you don't have gas money? We've had that happen out here at the food bank before, and it blows them away when I say, okay, you're going to have enough gas to get around, don't worry about it. It blows them away because it's happened time and time again. But it's because God is good. But how many of you have ever faced any trouble or difficulty in your life? Anybody? Yeah. Anybody besides me? I mean, I know I have. But if you've ever had any troubles or any difficulties in your life, and you've ever faced him, and you don't know what to do, there's times that things comes up in your life and you don't think. A lot of times you don't think quick enough on the Word of God. You start looking at the situation you're in. You start facing that problem that you're in. Instead of facing God, we're facing this situation. So what do we meditate on? We meditate on that situation. We meditate on that problem. Instead of trying to find out how to solve that problem, which we talked about this morning in our Sunday school class. Most of us will start worrying. Most of us will start fretting. Most of us will get in fear. Right where the devil wants us to be. And we start not sleeping. We ruin our health because we're worrying so much about situations in our life. We're worried about our children. We're worrying about whether we're going to lose our job or not. We worry about the fact of whether we have any, how we're going to pay our next bill. We worry about losing our car. We worry about losing our home. Just worry, 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 worry. I'm going to die from this disease. Boy, I got a disease. The doctors have told me. I mean, that's the true word. They've told me that I am sick and I'm going to die. And I might as well accept it. Might as well receive it. Well, no, we don't have to do that. That's not the way we live. You know, I just heard this week. I was sharing with Betty. It's a friend that both of us know. A young man that had a lot of difficulties in his life, a lot of situations. And I was talking to a friend of his, and I asked him the other day how he was doing. And he said, well, he's not with us anymore. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he committed suicide. Things got so bad. Somebody stole his car. He was a homeless person living in his car. They stole his car, everything that was in it, everything that he owned, his whole life possessions, everything was in that car. They stole it. He didn't have anything else, didn't have where to go. He thought, well, this is the best way to take care of this. Folks, there's people out there every day that's going through that very same situation. There's people out there every day that don't have any hope. There's people out there every day that don't have a life like we have. We need to realize how God has brought us from. Had it not been for God, we would have been in those kinds of situations. Many of us would have been. Many of us would have been alcoholics. Many of us would have been drug addicts. Many of us would have been homeless without hope at all. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there is hope. But we start confessing the word of defeat instead of the word of victory. What we start confessing is what we're going to receive. So why don't we start confessing the victory? Start calling those things that be not as though they were. The word says we can call those things that be not as though they were. Romans 4:17. But we tend to start thinking God has just left us alone. Maybe he's not even there anymore. You know, the Bible says God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll never leave. There's not anything too big or too small that he can't handle. He'll never let you fail. He'll never let you fall. But you got to trust him. You got to be in tune with him. So when trouble comes, we got to kind of know who it is. But you know, when we start thinking God's left us alone, God's not even listening to us when we pray. Man, we're praying and it's hitting just about the ceiling. That's far as it's going. It's never going to God. God, you're not hearing me at all. Where are you, Lord? Where are you at? I'm trying to get a hold of you. My internet connection is not working. Come on, Lord. Where are you? God, you don't even care, do you? Well, the Bible says over in 1 Peter 5:7, says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. So it don't matter what we're going through. It don't matter what the situations are that we're dealing with. God said, I'll take care of them. Just give it to me. Let me handle it. There's no sense in you worrying about it, and I'm not going to worry about it. So no sense you getting fret. You know, no sense you getting concerned about it. Just give it to me and walk in peace. That's what God's telling us to do. Just give it to me and let me have it. I'll take care of it. So when we try to cast our cares upon Jesus and start speaking and sowing the word, what happens? Here comes the enemy. He tries to steal it. John 10:10 says, the thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and give you more abundantly. A lot of people don't think about that last part of that. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we're allowing it to happen. But he said, I come to give you life and I come to give it to you more abundantly. So when the word is sown, you know, we try to cast our cares on Jesus. We start speaking and sowing the word. Here comes the enemy trying to steal it. So when the word is sown, over Mark 4, verse 15, it says, Satan comes immediately to steal it. How does he steal it? He tries to steal it through persecution, through affliction. You know, Satan is a thief. He's a liar. He'll do anything to try to discourage someone. He'll do anything to try to get you away from the word of God. He'll do anything to get you away from your miracle. He'll do anything to keep you from being blessed. He'll do anything. It don't make a difference if it's through your children, through some friend, through some situation in your life. He'll do anything he can do to try to destroy your testimony, destroy the word of God, that you won't believe what the word of God has to say. He's cunning. So the first thing we do, not the first thing, but one of the things we're going to do, I wouldn't say the first thing. First thing I do is pray. But one of the things that we'll do when trouble comes is recognize, number one, who is your enemy? Your enemy is not your wife or your husband. You may think it is, but it's not. It's not your neighbor. It's not your pastor. It's not your friend. That's not who your enemy is. Satan is your enemy. He is a deceiver. He's a tempter. He's cunning. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's an evil one. He will not stop at anything to cause you to fail and to be in doubt. You know, we get this little voice up here sometimes. We hear from God, but then we get a little voice up here that says, no, you don't need to do that. It's just like Satan did with Eve in the Garden of Eden. No, you don't need to do that. You don't need to worry about that. Don't worry about it. But you know what? When you fail, when you fall, when things go, when you go bankrupt, or when situation happens in your life, who's laughing? Satan. I got him this time. But let me tell you something. You got to know who your enemy is. Realize that you're in a battle. And the battle that you're in, you have to equip yourself. You know, when our military people go into battle, before they ever go into the first battle, before the guys go to Afghanistan, before the guys go into any foreign country, any place, Vietnam, wherever it was that they were fighting the battles, before they go, you go into the military and they train you. And they train you. And they train you. You become so accustomed to everything that they have set aside for you that it becomes natural to you when you get up in the morning or when you go to bed at night or when you're out there fighting. They've got you prepared. They give you the right equipment, the right weapons to fight with. They let you know the intelligence of your enemy. You know exactly who they are, you know what they are, and you know what they stand for, and you know what kind of weapons they use, and you know everything about that person or that enemy or that force that you're fighting against. Now, God does the same thing over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, you want to put on an armor that has been tried and tested, right? David, when David went to fight Goliath, and he went to see Saul, and Saul tried to give him his armor, he said, oh, no, I can't use that. Number one, David was probably shorter than me, and I'm not very big. And Goliath was a great big giant. But so was Saul, a big man. And number one, his armor would not fit David to start with. But David said, oh, no, I can't fight with this. This hinders me. This holds me down. You know, I've never tested or tried this one. I can't even pull that sword out, you know. What are you talking about? I've got 5 stones here. And I've got a sling. And you know what? I've used it before. And I'm pretty accurate with it. I can do with what I have been tested and tried with. Let me go with what I know I can do. Amen. God is saying to you this morning, I have given you the armor of God. You know, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. What's the wiles? The wiles are the methods or the different means and plans and schemes used to deceive, entrap, enslave, and ruin the souls of men. Man's method of sinning is a devil's method of damning the soul. So for we wrestle not, or we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness in the world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13 says, wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. A military terms in all, having done all to stand, when you take this hill, when you take this mountain, then you stand there and defend that mountain. That mountain is yours. You've already taken it, and you're going to defend it away from the forces that are going to try to come and take it back. See, the enemy won't stop at the first time that you defeat him. The enemy won't stop. He didn't stop with Jesus in the wilderness, and he's not going to stop with you. Just because you won a battle yesterday don't mean you're not going to have a fight again today. Just because you won a battle last week don't mean that the enemy is not going to crop up over here another way today. Because he will. And it may not be the same trial. It may not be the same persecution. It may not be the same affliction. But he will. Trust me, he will come after you. But you know what? And I'm going to show you here in a little bit. We've got the victory over this thing. I mean, he can throw his best shot. He can do all that he wants to do, but God is going to prevail. Because it says here to put on the whole armor of God. Let me tell you what the armor of God is. Let's go over this real quickly. It says, loin that girds about with truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus always fought his battles with the word of God. He said, it's written, it's written, it's written. And you know what? If you know the word of God, and if you got the word of God inside you, then you can fight any battle you want to. Because God will honor his word. He'll honor whatever you're standing on. You know, in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Being sober, so be watchful. I'm going to read it this way. Be watchful. Be on guard, because your enemy, Satan, the devil, is an intimidating lion walking about looking for whom he may, or he has permission to devour. You hear what I'm saying? We give him permission when we don't stand on the word of God. When we don't fight back, we're giving him the inside. And it don't make any difference what we're fighting. It don't make any difference if it's sickness, prosperity, or whatever it is. Children. 1 Peter 5:9, it says, whom we resist steadfast. Who do we resist? The devil. In faith, knowing that the same affliction or the same persecutions are accomplished in your brethren, or all Christians that are in the world. So you know Christians are being persecuted all over the world. But just got to tell you, I want to let you know we're in a battle. When you wake up in the morning and you get up and you say, good morning, Lord, the devil just right on the other side, he's just waiting. He's waiting for that opportunity. He's looking for that opportunity to sneak in and do what he can do. Do what we allow him to do. But you know what? It says, after you have suffered a while, Jesus will make you perfect. He will establish you in faith. He'll strengthen, that is to bind together and strengthen, so that we will not be in danger of warping, splitting, or falling apart. We'll be strong. We'll settle. Settling or grounding one in faith. A good foundation. All right, the second thing we need to do is go to God. We've already identified who the enemy is. We know the enemy is against us. We know that he wants to destroy us. He wants to kill us. He wants to take everything we have and leave us homeless and leave us without hope, without anything. So we go to God. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded is the ones that doubt God. It says, draw nigh to me. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, I had a dream or a vision. I don't know what it was. Probably a dream because I was a young man. Used to be a good friend of mine. He was a song director at our church. And I remember during this dream, we went in to see, and Jerry and I went to see he and his wife. And when we went into this house, little frame house, small house, had a screen door. How many remember the screen doors? You know, you used to latch them on top sometimes. Now we have to latch them, right? But anyway, we went in and we walked in, and his wife's name Ann, and Ann was crying. Oh, what's wrong, Ann? What's going on? She said, look at Jimmy. Jimmy was over on a couch, and he was curled up in a fetal position. And he didn't look very big. I mean, he's taller than I am, bigger guy, but he's kind of in a fetal position. And his hair was pure white. And of course, this is back in his younger days, and we all had black hair then. And but he was white. I said, "What's going on? What's happened to him?" She said, "I don't know." She said, "All of a sudden, this happened." And I realized that the enemy was trying to kill him. I walked over there and I laid my hands on him. I said, "In the name of Jesus, come out of him."
Amen.
Wow. About that time, I heard the screen door slam. And I looked out that screen door. And there was a figure going out across the pasture. And buddy, it was kind of like, you know, what is it? Roadrunner. Like a roadrunner. Man, he was headed off like a fox would have to the roadrunner. Man, he was taking off. And Jimmy just become the same person again. Let me tell you, if we don't take authority over the enemy, if we don't take authority over the situations in our life that is difficulty to us, then we're gonna suffer. But we don't have to do that. I'm here to tell you this morning, we don't have to do that. We don't have to fall into those situations. And you know, it may look like, and I know many of us have been praying and believing God for many things for a long time. But let me tell you something. Suddenly, it's going to happen. If you believe God, you trust God, God's word will not return to him void. It'll accomplish where it's sent and prospers in the thing it's been sent to. So if his word is true, if he says put on the whole armor of God and fight the enemy, then that's what we need to do. But we fight him with the word of God. And the word of God is going to prevail. And when the word of God prevails, then we're going to see the answers to our prayers. Mm-hmm. We're going to see signs and wonders follow. We're going to see the miracles that takes place in our lives that's supposed to be taking care. He said, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel with signs following." So we're to pray for guidance, pray for direction, pray for wisdom, pray for strength, pray for the word of God to come alive to us in our life. And then the next thing we want to do is speak the word of God. We have to know the word of God. John 8:32 says, "Know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And see, the devil don't want you to know the truth. That's why he'll lie to you. That's why he'll deceive you. That's why he'll tell you things that's untrue, that won't ever come to pass if we'll just believe God.
Amen.
But we have choices to make, like Brother Chris said this morning. Choose life. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were born, we had a physical body. And we were born, God breathed into our nostrils life. Give us a spirit and a soul that's going to last forever. This old body is going to go back to the dust of the earth. But our spirit and our soul is going to live forever, forever, forever. And that's what's in us. It's not what we see on the outside. It's what's on the inside that counts. And God sees our faith. He sees our strength. He sees our ability. He knows where we are. He knows who we are. He knows everything about us. So don't try to fool him. Don't try to think you're getting by with anything, because you're not. So what does God say about your situation? Go in and find the scripture that talks about the situation that you're dealing with. It's just like out there at the food bank, I have given out I don't know how many books of Dodie Osteen. about being healed with cancer. And there's a good prime example. 34 years, I believe it is. 34, 32, I can't remember, 1982, I believe it was. She was healed of cancer. And you know what? It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight. When they told her that she only had a few weeks to live, and Brother Osteen, he said, "You're going to take a miracle." And he said, "We're going to get one." And you know what she did? She got up every morning. She read that scripture. She had scriptures, healing scriptures that she went through every day. She said there were days that she didn't even hardly feel like even speaking the word. But she continued. She kept doing it over and over and over again. And she kept believing God for a miracle. She got her miracle. Free of cancer. Praying for the sick in Lakewood. It's because she didn't give up. And because she took the word of God. And did something with it. She stood on it. And once she got on top of that mountain, she wasn't about to let Satan come back and take it over again. She wasn't about to get cancer again. She's done got rid of it once. Don't you dare come back to me again. Don't you dare try to afflict me with this situation again. It's not going to happen because I have God on my side. So we go to the Word of God. Mark 11, 22 says, "And Jesus answered, said, it's talking about the fig tree, and Peter had told him, he says, "Hey, Master, did you notice the fig tree is withered up?" He said, "And Jesus answered and said unto them," his disciples, he said, "Have faith in God," or "have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea,' and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe in those things which he said, he shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." I like to say it this way, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea," and shall not doubt in my heart, but shall believe that those things which I saith shall come to pass, I shall have whatsoever I saith. Yeah. Mark 11, 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Yeah. Did he say you might have them? You could have them, maybe. No, he didn't say that. He said, "You shall have them." Yes. Now, is God's word true? Yes. He said it is. So if God's word's true, and he said we can have it, then how come we don't have it? Yes. It's because we're fighting a battle. And we don't have the full armor of God on. We're not totally prepared. We don't have all the weapons that we need. We haven't mastered all the techniques yet. It's there. It's available. He's even put it in your mouth. He put the words in your heart. It's there. How come we don't use them? Folks, it's so important. It's so important to know the Word of God. The Word of God is the key to life. Because if we don't know the Word of God, how can we possibly fight a battle with somebody? And I'm not giving him any glory, but you know what? He's cunning. He's smart. He knows how to get to you.
That's right.
You need to know how to get to him. Uh-huh. And the way we get to him is through the Word of God. The Word of God is, in Hebrews 11, 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." So it's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to win a battle without faith. It's impossible for us to see miracles, signs and wonders in our life without believing God and without having faith. You know, we need to stand. If you got a mountain you're going through this morning, or you got a situation you're going through this morning, you need to stand. You need to stand at the foot of that mountain and command it to obey you. You need to stand when the doctor tells you you have cancer. You don't have to tell that doctor, "I ain't got cancer." You just go home and say, "God, I believe your word. I know what your word says. Your word says I am healed by the stripes of Jesus." And you said, "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world." And you said you wish above all things that we'd prosper, be in health, even as our soul prosper. So, Father, I am healed. I am made whole. I'm complete. I have authority over this. Stand and command. You know, if you had somebody come into your house, and our pastors use this quite often, but you have someone come into your house, break into your home, and you've got your family there, and they're going to try to steal, and they're going to try to take everything you got, going to try to take your family, going to try to take your the things that belong to you, are you just going to stand there and let them have it? Are you? No. Over my dead body. They're going to have to come through a weapon that I might have. Let me tell you something. If we'll do that for our family, through the crazies in this world that are out to try to kill us and destroy us, then why would we not do the same thing with God's word and use God's word against the situations in our life that destroy us and that takes our children and takes our family, takes our health, takes our finances, takes the situations that we've worked hard for. See, God wants us to prosper. He wants us to be a success in life. The devil don't want you to be a success. I'll tell you what, if the devil's not fighting with you, then you're not as close to God as you ought to be. Because I'm going to tell you what, you'll fight battles until the day of his coming. But you know what? When we know who the winner is. You know, when a storm comes up, you speak to that storm, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you? When they say that, hey, there's a storm coming to Will's Point or Frog or wherever it is, Elmo. Storms are coming. The first time I hear that there's a storm coming and there's going to be an alert out, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that storm over my home, over my community, over my county, over my city, over my kid's place. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and it will not. See, you stand there and you take authority over it. You stand there and you command it to obey the word of God. God told us to do that. He said, the things that I do, greater things than this shall you do because I go to my Father.
That's right.
So if he healed the sick, if he called the blinded eyes to open, if he calls the deaf ears to hear, if he calls the dumb to speak, he called the maimed to walk, then if he can do it, we ought to be able to do it. If miracles followed him, why aren't miracles following us? It's because that we're taking things a little bit too lightly, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
I can remember when I was growing up, and I've probably shared this many times, but I'm going to share it again. I remember going to prayer meetings. I remember going to church and be there for hours on top of hours, you know. Not 30 minutes and go home and eat a hamburger and rest the rest of the day. Hey, we were committed. My parents was committed. The people in that church were committed. And I'll tell you what, if you were young, Aunt Bessie decides she wants to jump up and dance a little bit, you better be under the seat somewhere if you're a little one, because you might get stomped. You know, used to, they'd put the sleeping babies underneath underneath the benches. But you know what? That's the heritage that I was brought up in. And it was a commitment to God. It was a commitment to see things change in our life. I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in the things of this world and the things that we have to deal with that we don't have enough time to really spend with God and enough time to really meditate on the Word of God. It says, stand at the foot of that mountain, command it to him. Stand at the foot of that mountain and command the blessings of God to come and the enemy to leave. Speak to your sickness and command it to leave. Many of you know Jerry has been fighting a battle for years with some problems in her health. But let me tell you something. We have fought battle after battle after battle. We have won battle after battle after battle. And we're still winning battle after battle after battle. As I said before, you don't give up. You don't quit just because you got a miracle today. Doesn't mean you won't be hit again tomorrow with something else. I'm not trying to throw fear at you, folks. I'm trying to tell you that you can overcome. So we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And you can help others that way. If you've had a miracle and you give a testimony, you can help somebody else. But it says stand, speak to that sickness, speak the word of God over your children, and command the devil to take his hand over, take authority over the situations in our lives. You know, I believe in agreeing on the Word of God in unity. We have a prayer chain. And when situations come up in people's life, sometimes they'll call a prayer chain, and a prayer chain will call the next person, and it goes on down the chain. And we pray and believe God, and I'm for that. I believe in agreeing in the Word of God in unity for someone who's fighting battles. If I didn't, I wouldn't be involved in the food bank in the position I'm in, because people come in there all the time with no hope. They come there all the time with despair. And I tell them just what we're talking about this morning. You got to turn it over to God. You got to let God handle it. It helps to build when we're in unity together. It helps to build faith, and it helps to build and encourage us. But it also is a battle we have to ultimately fight and win ourselves. Yeah. Our faith and our commitment to God's Word. You know, you can ask somebody to agree with you all day long, and you can do that. I've heard Brother Hagin talk about that, some of his services. I had one guy, he had one incident where he had a guy that he was at one of his meetings, and this guy come up to him and said, "Brother Hagin, I need for you to agree with me on something." And Brother Hagin said, "Well, okay, what is it?" And so he told him. He said, "Well, I can agree with it." He said, "Bless God." He said, "Let's just agree right now. This is going to be taken care of." And he did. And he says, "You know what?" He said, "I've been looking for an agreeer for a long time. I hadn't found anybody that wanted to agree with me." But the reason for that was to encourage him and to help him to build his faith. But ultimately, the battle is really God's. But the battle you're going to have to fight through faith, through prayer, is yourself. You know, David said, "The battle's not mine, it's yours, Lord." And it was. And it is the Lord's. But we have to give him permission. We have to work with him to be able to defeat the enemy. I don't know about you this morning, but I've preached myself happy. I've encouraged myself, because let me tell you something. There's not a one of us in here that have not went through just in this last 6 months. I'll bet you there's not. I'm not going to bet. There's probably not anyone in here that hasn't faced some situation in their life that they did not have to really stand and stand strong on. It may be small, but it may be a big thing too. And I want to encourage you this morning that your answer is right here. You put on the armor of God and you determine that no matter what the situation is that you're facing, that God is going to take care of it. Know that you know that you know that you know that when you speak the word of God, and when you pray the word of God, and when you believe the word of God, then those things are going to come to pass, and you're going to have exactly what you've been praying for.